And good morning. Welcome to another edition of Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. I want to begin by saying music is like poetry, and that is a message. And history, like a diamond, shines clear to the truth. You see, words have meanings that we can comprehend, like definitions. And news can show us a chain of events that we may not always understand. Now, I'm asking each and every one of our members of the Quest listenership to pull back the musical curtain to see and hear the contribution of our diaspora. And you are sure to find our Quest moment where we attempt to make waves, indeed, vibrations. So thank you for joining us to hear a different perspective of our community. And nowadays more than ever, the perspective is from your level that you reach and your knowledge base. And so, that being said, I'd like to bring on everyone to say good morning and introduce themselves, starting with Miss Gardner. Good morning.
Grand rising, everyone. Today is a beautiful day, and I'm so happy for this show. I'm so excited.
Oh, that's so cool. I'd like to bring on our student host, Justin Hill. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
And are you and Brielle sharing the same phone?
Yes.
Oh. Well, everybody needs to have their own, like, microphone. Anyway, Quest Youth Radio presents Diamonds, Definitions, and Curtains with student host Justin Hill and Brielle Claire. Now, without any further ado, I'd like to begin by saying the first song that you heard was a song by our curtains featured today, Hazel Scott, and we're going to find out more about her later on in our show. But right now, as we continue, wake up, and I'd like to turn it over to our student host with his first segment of Diamond. Justin, take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And like you said, it's time for my first segment of Diamonds. History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. And my first time segment is on Ocean Sweep, and he was an African-American physician in Detroit, Michigan. He is known for being charged with murder in 1925 after he and his friends used armed self-defense against a hostile white mob protesting after Sweep moved into the new neighborhood. Stones were thrown at his house, breaking windows. Shots were fired, and one white man was killed and another wounded. Sweet, his family, and 9 associates at the house, including his 2 brothers, were all arrested and charged with murder. After he and his family got out, Sweet went to Wilberforce College for work and his undergraduate degree. He earned his medical degree from Howard University, also a historically black university. And that is it for my first segment of today. And I thank you guys for listening.
Okay. There's a lot that you're leaving out there, Justin. He was charged with murder, but what happened as a result of that charge?
He had to go to trials.
And what happened in the trial?
I did not get that information.
Okay. So you're going to have to do your due diligence to do more. Tanisha Gardner, by chance, did you have did you take the time out to look into to see who if I'm saying his name correctly, Osanian, right? Did you get a chance to look into it to see who he is?
Yeah. I was trying to do some research, so I got some stuff. But it's oh my God, his story is so powerful. Osanian Sweet. So Osanian Sweet, he was an African American physician in Detroit, Michigan. And I guess you have to know the backstory of Michigan and a time period, because he was born in 1895. So he was born into slavery, right? And then it talks about how the Great Migration from the South, and how they started to go to Detroit, and in Detroit, because you know they created a cars, right? And so they needed the influx of workers. So at that time, they said it wasn't a lot of immigrants that was coming into the country. So they said that the African-Americans came up. And at that time, they was paying them, I think, like $5 to work. And that's how they started to build in Detroit, Michigan. And at that time, they didn't really have a lot of, the hospitals that they had were segregated. So he felt as though that was a great opportunity to help, to help the people. And so that's why he went to Michigan, right? So he was born in Florida, and then he ended up going to Michigan. And then at that time, it was major segregation. If you understand the history, it was a lot of white mobs that went into different African-American communities. And I believe he wanted to move. I'm not sure if the block was mixed or it was an all-white block. Don't quote me. You have to do your research. But they end up getting a house. And then I think like a couple of days later, I believe it was a mob between 300 and 500 people. And they threw a brick through his window. And what happened was, when he opened the door, he seen the mob, and then he shut the door back. And then I believe they threw it in. And at that time, we had the right, we do have the right to bear arms. And it was a group of them, and they, out of protection, when they shot to protect themselves from that huge mob, one of them was murdered. And then it said at the time, they found it was divine intervention, because God is good, because God was definitely on their side. And I think that's one thing we have to remember, the power of spirituality, and how even in the midst of you think you're going to lose, or you think you cannot see your way out, God always make a way. That's why God said faith without works are dead. You have to have the faith, but also put in the work. And that's what they did. And they end up getting a judge called Judge Murphy. And I guess at that time he had a whole different ideology, and he knew of, and it's so funny because they called him Christ-like, because he wasn't like the others, where it was hatred, where it was bigotry, that he didn't look at someone less than, and it was about respect, And so he was the judge on that case, right? And so they went to go find, I think, prominent black lawyers, but they felt as though it would have been an attack, and then they would have definitely lost the case. So they end up getting a white lawyer, which names was Lawyer Hayes at the time, and he actually helped on the case, right? And then they went to trial, and then that actually helped. So what Hayes did, Lawyer Hayes did, was ask him, what did you think about the mob, right? And so you got to remember, he was born in 1895. And then it said when he was, I think he was 5 years old at the time, and he was born in Bateau, Florida, right? And in 1901, so he seen a mob, right? They killed this 16-year-old black teenager, and they accused him of raping a white girl, and he did not. And so what the mob did, they found him, they lynched him, and then they strapped him, and they chained him to a barrel, and they poured kerosene on his body. And he said at that time, there were so many screams and horror, and you could smell the flesh. And this is what he was telling the trial, right? And then he also talks about how his experience with the mob and how they hounded his people for entire history. And he started telling the story about 1921, about Tusker, Oklahoma, how they obliterated Black Wall Street, and how he started talking about 1923 and how the mob destroyed Rosewood. And then he started talking about 1919, about the Red Summer. And so it helped them paint a picture through his eyes of what he was facing. And that's why it was, I believe it was dismissed or dropped. And they walked away. So basically that's what I got from the history that I learned on a science. Yes.
Yeah, well, it looks like you went a little bit deeper than Justin did there. From what I understand, you found out more information than I did. I look for the pertinent facts, and by bringing in the white lawyer, that lawyer was able to bring more publicity to that particular case, to his case. And because of that publicity, like you said, the case had to be dismissed, and they all, were released, freed from that particular allegation of murder when he and his family were just protecting themselves. And, just brings about the adversity that black people had to go through when they were trying to pursue a better life and choosing to live wherever they wanted to. Ironically, while he was arrested, no one else from the mob had to, answer to what had actually happened, right? So I have to turn it back to Justin. Justin, when you hear the most important details of this particular story, how does it make you feel?
It made me feel that it was wrong because no one from the mob got sentenced to life, and Sweet and his family, they had to go to Charles, and it just wasn't all right.
What was that last statement you made?
It wasn't right.
Okay. All right. Okay, so now we want to continue, right, without going straight to music. I'd like to bring Brielle up and share with us here. First of all, introduce yourself and tell us, about your first diamond segment.
Okay, so this is Brielle, and this is my diamond segment.
Well, history, good morning, like, first of all. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. Take
history
it away.
Is like, History is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflection of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply and you are bound to find yourself. So for my first segment, I'm going to be doing Thomas Fuller. Thomas Fuller was born in West Africa and was sold to slavery. For most of his life, he was a slave. He never learned how to read or write, and he never had education either. As years went by, he was able to calculate things in his head quicker than he did when he was younger. When he was freed, later in his life, he asked two men to interview him. He told those men that he taught himself how to count to 10, then he was able to count to 100. He then started to count hair on the cows, and the exact amount was 2,872. Then he had questions to solve, like, how many seconds are in a year? And a half it was 47,304. Another question was, how many seconds are in 70 years, 17 days, and 12 hours? He replied with 2,210,500,800. One of the men argued about the numbers being too large, but then he reminded the man that it was years added as well. Some more questions were asked, and he were able to answer them in the next 1 to 2 minutes. Unfortunately, Fuller died in 1790. Again, this is Brielle, and that is it for my segment.
Well, what motivated you? You know, what do you think about this particular story?
I like the story because he had the sources. He was able to use the sources around him to count because they never gave education, so he was able to count with the sources he had around him, like animals.
Yeah, but what kind of sense does that make? I mean, where's the connection? Now, when you look at the information that you research, was he taken? Was he brought to America?
I'm pretty sure he was, and he was brought to America.
And about guesstimate. Guessing, when do you think he was brought to America?
Suggesting, I'm not sure.
Okay. Now, we have to take into account that he was born in Africa. He was placed in bondage, brought to America, where he had to learn how to speak the language of the people who enslaved him. Now, at this point, you know, not being able to speak the language, do you think he had any previous knowledge, education, before he even was brought to America?
Not really. I don't think so because... I don't think so because he spent most of his life there, and I think that they brought him when he was a baby, so I'm not sure.
No, they couldn't have brought him when he was a baby if he was born in Africa. Right?
I feel like maybe he knew something.
Hold on. Here's my question. Do you think he had previous education before he came or he was brought to America? Now, you just told me no. I can't hear you. What do you think? You still stick with the no?
No, I think maybe he didn't. Like, he knew some education. He knew some stuff, but I feel like when he came to America, there wasn't, like, he didn't know any English or have to count in English, maybe. So maybe he knew stuff in his own language.
Of course. Now, one universal language is math, okay? Math is something that is, like, global. we all, everyone, no matter where you are, math is so important. Okay. Kenesha, I want to bring you in and ask you what you think.
Brielle, I just want to say you're doing a really good job, and I'm happy the way that Mr. Bay is helping you to critical think, because critical thinking is very important. It's, you know, because you're taking the facts, you're taking what you know, and you're figuring out and you're solving problems. And that's, and that will definitely help you in the success of your life going forward. So I just want to commend you on that and be able to critical think on the spot. Yeah, definitely. Like I said, he was born in 1710 and he died in 1790, so he lived to be 80 years old. And like you said, yeah, it's definitely universal. The only thing is, like, the characters would be different, but the concept is the same. And for him to memorize, that's very powerful. For what I read, it says Thomas Fuller was an African shipped to America as a slave in 1724. He had remarkable powers of calculation, and late in his life was discovered by anti-slavery campaigners who used him as a demonstration that blacks are not mentally inferior to whites. So to hear our stories of our ancestors and how powerful they are rings bells to this day, and especially in the situations that we're going through, you know, within our communities, because slavery was not that long ago. You know, you got to think about your great-grandmother or your grandmother and your mother times, you know, especially when I think about my, you know, my parents, or my great-grandmother was born in early 1900s. So she faced all this, you know, especially in the 50s when it, you know, was going through the transitions in America. I think that's something to really think about and really hone into the stories that we speak every week, and it could really impact us and help us to really shape and form what we see as our legacy. So I'm very happy that we do have, the young voices, because you are our future, and take all this knowledge and be able to create what you want to see the world to be. So that's what I get from Thomas Fuller, you know. Thank you.
Thank you. Justin, I want to bring you in. What do you think? Justin, the question is the same. Do you think that Thomas Fuller, learned his mathematical genius here in America, or was it something that he might have known before he was brought here to America enslaved?
He learned that he became a mathematical genius when he was still before he was brought to America.
Why do you think that?
I think that because from his culture he learned a lot. But he actually taught himself. I don't think he really learned a lot because he couldn't get an education. But I think in his culture, in his surroundings, he learned how to do math.
Before he came to America?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, now, Brielle, now I'm going to tell you, right, one of the things that Ms. Garner brought out was the fact that anti-slavery abolitionists brought him to the forefront to demonstrate that slavery wasn't right, because here in America, they wanted to create a picture of black people being docile, meaning lazy, and most importantly, ignorant, meaning not smart. Now, it stands to reason, right, they chose him as an example to show or exemplify the intelligence of black people in America to say to other white people, these people that you call in ignorant and docile are more smarter than what you think. Now, reality tells us that I don't want to call them, I heard one place they called black people who were in slavery prisoners of war, right? And who enslaved them, or held them captive, wanted to paint a picture. But what they did do was steal everything they could from these people and work them to death, okay? And so I want you to try to keep that all in mind, right? Because it stands to reason that he had to have learned his mathematical genius, his mathematical conscious and thinking before he was even brought to America, right? So we're going to continue on. I'm going to give us a break for everybody to take a breath. And we're going to come back. And Tanisha Gardner, Ms. Gardner, thank you so much. Right? Don't you go anywhere. Everybody, sit back, relax, as we continue Quest Youth Radio, which is the best youth radio. And musically, let's check this out.
I jump, grab my go-yard trunk, get ready to walk it out like Unk in my jumping and chucks. That's when I heard murder. You're killing me and filling me with sorrow. Sunrise, goodbyes, and missing you tomorrow. I turn to see my dream love, supreme queen, ain't a thing gonna sing, cry. I drop my bags in the flash, that's faster than 180 on that dash, sir, to dry your tears. And wipe the rain from my dear like dash shirt. Use the dame who's the username to all my passwords. The reason I get fly is Ivan Jasper. I even keep your picture in my passport. Love, love. Real, all in together, free chill. Tell a steward it's the dope movie on the real. Heat up my kosher meal, exchange my dollar bills. Lean back in my first class seat and sleep. Don't wake me till I land where they barely understand what I speak, but they nod to my beats. I tell my fans who I am and they stand and they clap, they applaud. They love me, my God. Oscar Samadesta, or maybe au revoir. A spree on St. Henri, then back to Charles de Gaulle. So I can get home and tell her everywhere that I've been and everything that I've done and tell her that she's the one and
Let's go to sleep, Pam. Wake up.
Guess who's back in the house with a bunch of souvenirs and a smile for your mouth. I really missed you each and every night. I kissed you in my dreams before I went to sleep. The La La Land to count them sheep.
I swear you're looking prettier than ever. It's got to be a prophecy for us to stay together evermore. For better or less support, all worth a waiting, buried treasure, X is on the shore. I know my world tours like war to ya, but Ian said aloha and Hardy said cheers. Julian said bonjour, Big O was like yeah. Amanda and LaMessi wanted to win, we going there. Edison sends his love, so does the rest of the club of the international playboys and playgirls. But I revoke my membership, all for my tenderness. She said pursue your interests, cause even if I'm ticketless, I'll be there, by your side, in your heart, on your mind. So as I taxi down another runway, I got you. Who loves you, babe? Now bring it back now.
Let's go to St. Pam. Wake up in Tokyo. Have a dream in New Orleans. Born in love in Chicago, May. Then we can land in the motherland. Camelback across Death Sand. Take a train to Rome. Go home. Brazil. For real. Wherever I go, she go. Wherever I go, she go. Wherever I go, she go. Wherever I go, she go.
And we're back. And welcome back. All right, let's get ready to chop it up and talk about it as we dig deeper in the history and talk about some more interesting people and words. I want to hand it back over to Justin Hill. Take it away.
Thank you, Mr. Bay. And it's now time for my first segment of definitions. This segment provides the listener with words and their meanings that we can achieve together a common basis that we care and believe in ourselves. Remember, whosoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. And my definition for today is relevant. And the definition of relevant or relevance is the idea that one topic may be useful to another topic. An example is in society. It means that all the people I've done for diamonds before they had an importance in life, and that's why they relevant. They had importance in life, and they were important to many people. And that is my segment of definitions.
Okay, now I would like for you to go straight to your next definition.
Okay, my next definition is on information. And it is knowledge obtained from investigation, study, or instruction. Information is also an abstract concept that refers to that which has the power to inform. It's also data available at one step or process into information to be interpreted and processed at the next step. And that is it for my next segment of definitions.
Okay, so you gave us a great example about the word relevant and an example and how you've been doing diamonds and you've been talking about people who are relevant to the African-American diaspora and their contributions. What about the word information? Where do you get your information from, Justin?
Where I get my information from, first I get it from you because you teach me about our history, and yeah, I get it from you. You teach me. And be out about our African American history.
Okay, All right. So I'm going to go to Ms. Gardner. Ms. Gardner, we're the only two adults on this panel today. But I want to ask you two questions. The first question is, where do you get your information from?
Oh, I guess many places. Reading, listening to stories, spiritually, through your intuition, through your instinct, through dreams. It's just many plethora ways that you can get information.
And how relevant or how important is the information that you receive?
It is very important, and especially if it's accurate. I think that's one thing you have to know, if the information is accurate, or can you use it in the time that you need it? Because some information you get is like, do I really need it? Or you store it for when you do need it, you have it.
Okay. Now, today, he talked about, Justin, you talked about relevant, and you talked about information, right? So I want you to go to your next diamond segment and be ready at the end of the segment to tell us about the information. That's what you're going to do first, but why is it relevant more importantly? So, Justin, again, I know you have another diamond. Please take it away.
My next diamond segment is on Amos Nelson Wilson, and he was an African-American physiologist, social theorist, pan-Africanist thinker, scholar, author, and the professor at the City University of New York. Wilson was born in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and completed his undergraduate degree at Morehouse College in Atlanta, Georgia. Wilson believed that the vast power between Africans and non-Africans was the major social problem of the 21st century. Wilson argued that the function of education and intelligence was to solve the problems particular to a people and nation. This means that the help people get should be based on their needs and not a one fixed idea that may not benefit those individual people. For my diamond segment of today.
Okay. And why, this is the question, why is Amos Wilson relevant?
I think Amos Wilson is relevant because he was an author. He did write books, and I think he's relevant because he helped people in society.
That's a set-up question, Justin. The answer to that is yes. Yes, he is still alive. And the thing that is relevant, you know, a lot of times when you're given a segment to do, some of the people that you do are not alive. Amos Wilson is still alive. And you can actually go to his website. And let me stop cutting you off. Go ahead. Speak, please.
From what I got, it says he died in 1995 at the age of 53.
Oh, I was wrong. Hey, do you have what are some of the books that he's written?
The Black on Black Violence. Awakening the Natural Genius of Black Children.
Okay. Now, does that sound like a book that you might want to read? Awakening the Genius of Black Children? All right. Go ahead.
Well, I think it sounds interesting, so I would like to read it.
Okay. All right. So, Tanisha Gardner, what do you know, or do you know anything about Amos Wilson?
But good job, Justin. So the research I have done on Amos Wilson, one of the books they mentioned was The Blueprint for Black Power. I guess the first thing is to define psychologist, because he was a psychologist. So when we think of a psychologist is a professional who practices psychology and studies mental states, perceptual, cognitive, emotional, and social processes and behaviors. Their work often involves experimental, observational, and interpretation of how individuals relate to each other and their environments. So when we take into context of the knowledge and understanding behind psychology and other people and the issues that we was going through, especially when you think about environmental wise, you know, or you think of economically wise and politically wise, that's what he was bringing to our forefront of the power that we have, you know, because when you think about the church, the church, you know, sometimes make us feel powerless, or money is the root of all evil. And in actuality, is not. And he challenges those type of thinking, you know. And I think that's very powerful. And when you and then he compared it like to the Jews or to the Asians, and they still had their cultural and they still had their religion, but at the same time they still had the power of the economic dollar. Versus when we had it, it was destroyed. Like for instance with Tulsa, Oklahoma. The bombing of Black Wall Street. It's like we had it, but then they come and destroy it. So what does that do to our mind and our mental in the states that we are in now? And it also talks about in the Blueprint for Black Power, like I just mentioned about the church, and it was saying that it was a church in New York who had the concept of helping the people, right? And so what they did was they actually bought bought properties and made it low income for residents to live in. And they also empowered them through employment, and they created jobs. And what I've seen from Amos Wilson, it kind of reminds me of Powernomics with Claude Anderson. So Claude Anderson would be the resurrection of Amos Wilson, you know, because it's about Black empowerment and how do we take the dollar and really be able to move in a way that we're actually creating betterment within our communities, and especially politically. You know, everything is political, is by the law. So how do we change these laws that's going to benefit our people? And I think once we understand the dynamics of everything, like today's show was awesome. Because when you
but today's show is not over and we're running out of time, so I'm gonna have to stop you right there.
Okay.
Right. And we need to bring Brielle back on. Right. Notice how I strategically waited for an opportunity to move in on you. Right. Before you come up today's show, let's bring in Brielle, and she has two segments that we need her to share with the audience. Take it away, Brielle. Good morning again.
Good morning. This is Brielle, and this is my segment about Toussaint Louverture. Toussaint Louverture was born in 1793 near Breda Cap Francois Saint Dominique, Haiti. Years later, he emancipated the slaves and negotiated for the French colony. He was the son of an educated slave, winning the favor of the plantation manager. He was a healer, livestock handler, and coachman. But when he was free, he was married and had two sons. He was a fervent Roman Catholic and disagreed to voodoo.
In August 1791, a sudden slave revolt began in northern thousands of slaves across the country. Toussaint was the first uncommitted. After a few weeks, he helped his former master escape, then joined black forces who burned plantations and killed many Europeans. He started collecting an army of his own. He started training them in the guerrilla warfare. When France and Spain war began, Toussaint started demonstrating military ability. Later, after black people adored him very much, but he was appreciated the most by Europeans. Defying French revolutionary, he applied planters to return. The laborers were equal and free and wasn't whipped anymore. Later in 1799, Britain and began a trade with the U.S. Toussaint traded sugar and promised to never invade Jamaica or the American South. The British offered to refreeze him as the king of independent Haiti. They remained slavery, so he refused. Then a campaign in 1799 eliminated another potential to Toussaint by driving and destroying his mulattoes. France tricked Toussaint and told him it was a meeting, but then they really arrested him, and he was imprisoned and interrogated. Unfortunately, he died in April 7th, 1803. That is it for my segment about Toussaint Louverture.
Yeah, so now you have to do your next segment. We're running out of time.
The definition of revolution is the action by a celestial body of going round in orbit or elliptical course.
You just gave me the definition of machinery, a revolution as in time. That is not the definition that really relates to your diamond. Tanisha, Ms. Gardner, come in and help us out here.
Okay, so her definition was supposed to be revolution? So it says
yes.
A revolution is a forcible overthrow of a government or a social order in favor of a new system. So I guess in this context, it would be through everyone that we heard, the revolution was the old system was black people inferior, they're nothing, they're less than, where in the new system is we always have been, and we will be strong, smart, and competent of doing great things.
Right, and we will be independent. And we will not be enslaved. If we have to fight for it, we will. And Toussaint Overture was one that actually was successful. You know, as a result of his fight for independence to defeat slavery in Haiti, the word traveled throughout the world. And I believe to this day, Haiti is being punished for the fight, the pushback, to end this unhuman way of thinking. You know, when you look at history and you kind of look at the relevant things that we put together, you have to understand that black people have always been, like Ms. Gardner said, always intelligent, always having the answer, always civilized. And every time we made an attempt to make a better place for ourselves, because of the way this country and the way some people think, they change the rules, right? And that being said, I'd like to bring Justin back on to talk about the curtain segment for today.
Well, my curtain segment is on, and jazz pianist and singer Hazel Scott was not only the first African-American woman to host her own television show, but she also bravely stood up to the House Un-American Activities Committee and the Hollywood studio machine. Hazel Scott was born in Port of Spain, Trinidad. After a while, she joined her mother's jazz band. After appearing in multiple Broadway productions, she moved to Los Angeles and signed with RKO, a major movie studio. She was one of the first performers to refuse to play before segregated audiences. She made sure to document this in all of her contracts. She is a true example of integrity and standing up for what she believes in, regardless of how much money was offered. And that is it for my last segment of the day, which was curtains.
Absolutely. And she was friends with Billie Holiday. She fought against segregation. And when we talk about curtain, and, you know, she was, you know, one of the things, Justin, about Hazel Scott, she spoke 7 different languages.
Right.
7 different languages. Hazel Scott traveled the world, and she settled down and married a congressman out of Harlem, New York City, a famous man, someone who was outspoken, and his name was Adam Clayton Powell, right? A powerful, you know, when I look at that, I know you don't know who Adam Clayton Powell is, right? But you're going to find out. You're going to have to find out. A power couple, not one of the first, but that was a power couple. Just imagine those two together, right? And they had a son who I believe is still alive. I'm not sure, right? Let's chop it up. We have 3 minutes left. I played at the beginning a song by Hazel Scott, and we're going to, you know, as we exit this particular episode of the show, I'm going to play a song. But first, I need to bring Brielle back on, and I need you to sum up what you've learned and what you've done today, what you actually got out of this.
I learned that slaves, like, when they were freed, they were able to do more things about it.
That's it? Hello?
Yes.
Okay, so when you're speaking and you come to the end, you know, I have no way of knowing whether you're going to continue on talking because the pauses are too long, right? That's why you have to introduce yourself in the beginning and the end, okay? Because I'm waiting to see if you have, we're listening to see if you have something else to say because we don't know. And no one wants to interrupt you while you're having the thought, right? Justin, what did you get out of today's show?
Well, what I learned is that, well, first, Hazel Scott, she spoke 7 different languages. And I learned that, what's her name? The dude that, that could count by himself. Yeah, and I learned about Thomas Sowell. He taught himself how to count, and he taught himself how to read and write.
Okay.
And
I'm gonna bring, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say that was I was going to say, that was it from what I learned.
Okay. I'm sure there's going to be more, right? And I want to really impress upon you guys to go beyond the words on the written page, that when you find out about a particular person, you want to know, you want to be able to deliver the information that is relevant. You want to deliver the information that is relevant to the listening audience. And that being said, Tanisha Gardner, talk to us, concluding, okay. You know, tell us what you thought about the show before Justin closes us out.
Oh, the show was really good, and people need to do more research, especially about Toussaint and about the Clintons in Haiti and how they never received their money, and why is Haiti still going through what they went through, especially when they won that war in 1804. Something to really think about.
Okay. Close us out, Justin.
I would like everyone, I would like BL, Mr. Bay, and Ms. Grinder for joining us on Questy Radio. Today we had a great show. We talked about many relevant people, and Questy Radio is the best
radio.